Hi, my name is Liam Kavanaugh. I'm a senior program manager with the SQL Azure Data Sync team. And today what I'd like to show you is how to programmatically create a synchronization solution between SQL Server and SQL Azure. For those of you that have been following SQL Azure Data Sync, you're probably familiar with a user interface that allows you to do a very similar set of tasks to extend SQL Server to SQL Azure or provide SQL Azure to SQL Azure synchronization using SQL Azure Data Sync. But today what I'd like to do is show you how all of that capability, which is built on the Microsoft Sync framework, could also be done by yourself using your own set of code to set up synchronization. And you may want to do that for times when you need to add customization or flexibility beyond what's available just in the base SQL Azure Data Sync user interface. So to get started, I just want to point you to our SQL Azure Data Sync page. If you're interested in learning more, go to azure.com and under products, SQL Azure, SQL Azure Data Sync. But that's really not the point of this webcast. The point of this webcast is how to do this through code. So to first get started, what you need to do is download the Sync framework. I'm using Sync Framework 2.1, and if you just do a search for this, Microsoft Sync Framework 2.1 SDK download, you'll find this MSDN Download Center page that allows me to download the components I need. Now here there's two. I'm actually just using the x86 version, but we also have the x64 version, and I'll show you one slight difference between the two that you need to be aware of when you're building an application in Visual Studio a little bit later on. But from right now, I've previously installed this onto my local machine. So the first thing I need to do from SQL Server is to show you what I'm going to extend. I'm going to take my AdventureWorks database that's currently sitting in my local SQL Server, and of course there's a number of different tables, and I'm going to take the customer table and the product table and extend that to SQL Azure. So I'm going to create a bidirectional synchronization link between the two so that whether I make changes at SQL Azure or SQL Server, they get synchronized back and forth. It's also going to show me how I can actually create these tables within SQL Azure programmatically. So the next thing I need to do is go to my SQL Azure server. This is my SQL Azure server. It's sitting in the South Central US, and currently there are no databases in that, so I'm going to create a new database. And that'll open up a page that'll allow me to create my first SQL Azure database. And I'm going to call it AdventureWorks LT SQL Azure and run that. So that created my database. If I refresh this, you should see it. And within there, of course, there's no tables yet, because we haven't actually provisioned it for sync. We haven't actually created those tables. So let me switch over to Visual Studio, and I'll create my application to provide synchronization. I'm just going to create a basic console application. So I'll go into Projects, File New Project, create a new console application, call it Sync Test, and not going to create a directory. I'll just click on OK and let it create that project for me. So here's my application. I'm just going to view the Solution Explorer. And over here, we can see the typical references, but I need to add a few references to my Sync framework components that the Sync test application is going to use. I'm going to browse to C, Program Files, Microsoft Sync Framework. Click on OK or press Enter. Under 2.1 runtime x86, I'm going to add the sync framework core DLL. This is the core runtime that we require for all applications. And I'm also going to add a reference to the database providers that know how to communicate to SQL Server and SQL Azure. I'm going to go up a directory under ado.net v3.1 x86 or x64 if that's what you installed. I'll choose the first three components, because I don't need the SQL Compact database provider. I'm not synchronizing the SQL Compact, but if I was, that's the component I would use. Click on OK. And there are the references that I, or the namespaces, sorry, the references that I need to use for my application. Next thing I need to do is just put in my code. So let me minimize this so we can actually take a look at it here. So of this code, I've added references to the SQL Server namespace. I've also had references to the Sync framework components that I'm going to be using. Down in here in my definitions, I've added two connection strings. One is to my SQL Azure server, and if we go over here to the right, we'll see here that I have my AdventureWorks database that we just created. Here's my user ID and the password. And if you're not familiar with how to create these connection strings for SQL Azure, just go to sql.azure.com, log on to your account, and click on one of the databases, and you'll see a button for connection string that will give you the connection strings that you can use and just copy and paste in here. You just have to replace the password with your proper password. And over here, I have my SQL Server connection to my AdventureWorks database, typical connection. And finally, I have a name for my scope. A scope is going to be the tables and the actual data that will be synchronized between these databases, and we'll see more of that in a minute. So in my main part here, I'm just going to have an application that accepts some parameters, and if they pass in dash setup, it's going to call the code to set up my database for sync. If I call dash sync, it actually is going to execute sync, as we see here. So let's look at the setup code. If we look at the setup code, what we have here is we have a connection to SQL Server that's created, a connection to SQL Azure that's connected. We're going to create that scope. Remember, based on that scope name, the all table sync group scope name, it's going to create a new scope. And within that, we're going to get the table description for the customer table and the product table. So if we look over here, we can see it's going to get the table description, so like the schema for the customer table from the SQL Server connection and the product table from the SQL Server connection, and put that as part of the table description. We're going to add those tables to my scope, and then based on that scope, we're going to connect to both the SQL Server database and the SQL Azure database to set them up for sync. So here we're starting with SQL Server, so we're going to do the provisioning, check if it's already been provisioned, already been set up before, and if it hasn't, to actually set it up for sync. So set up all of the tables for tracking changes, putting all the metadata tables that need to be used to actually do the sync. And similarly, we're going to do the exact same thing, this time for my SQL Azure database. If that provisioning does not exist, actually set it up for sync. And in this case, because it's SQL Azure, it's new, there's no schema, it'll actually create the table structure for the product and the customer tables, which we didn't need to do with SQL Server. So once that's done, I close the connection and I'm done this part of the setup. The next time that I run the sync test application and call it with sync, once again I'm going to create a connection to the two databases. Next, through Sync Framework, I have an orchestrator that ties two database providers together. In this case, it's a SQL Server provider that connects both to SQL Server and one that connects to SQL Azure. So my local provider is going to connect to my SQL Azure connection. My remote provider is going to connect to my SQL Server connection. And then for the direction of sync, I set it for bidirectional, upload and download. But if you're just doing unidirectional, I could have done download only or upload only if I wanted. But for this sample, I'm going to do bidirectional, so changes get moved both ways. Then I'm going to show the statistics based on the actual synchronization of the data. Close the connection, and we're done. Let's just take a quick look at the statistics that are shown for the sync. So over here we have, the total time it took, number of changes that were applied, failed, conflicts that occurred, things like that that get shown in this statistic page. So that's it. Let me build this project. And the one thing that you'll need to note is, as you can see here, it's building it as x86. If you installed the x64 version of the Sync framework, just make sure you're actually building it for an x64 application, because it's going to, you're including references to the x64 sync framework components, the sync test application will have to be built as x64. But for me, this should be good. Let me just copy this and go to that directory and look at it. Here's the sync test application. Let's just run it the first time. And just as we expect, it says, okay, I need to pass it either dash setup or dash sync. So the first time I'm going to do is dash setup to set up my databases for sync. So as we saw in the code, first thing it does is it connects to my SQL Server database and sets that provisioning, sets up the tables required for sync. And then once that's done, it will then connect to my SQL Azure database, and this time it'll actually set up the tables. It'll actually create the product table, create the customer table, and also set up that database for sync with all the metadata information that's required. While that's happening, let me switch over to SQL Management Studio. Over here, if I refresh my SQL Server database, we'll see it added the tracking tables for my customer and product tables. It added the metadata tables that the Sync framework requires that includes things like the scope name, all the things that we defined before. And over here, if we refresh the AdventureWorks SQL Azure database here, we should see that we have the customer table, tracking product table and its tracking table to track changes, and the associated metadata tables. So at this point, it's already set up for synchronization, and I can do my first sync. So this time, I'll pass in dash sync. So this time, it's going to take a little bit longer just because it's going to take all of the data from SQL Server that I defined and synchronize that to SQL Azure. So there's around 1,152 rows that get synchronized the first time. Let's give that a second to complete. And that's done. So here we go. If I run it again, it should be a little bit quicker because there aren't as many rows to be synchronized, or in this case, no rows. So it was much quicker, just a couple of seconds to synchronize those two tables. And just verify that everything worked here, I'm going to look at my SQL Azure database, do a new query, say select star from customer, execute that. And we can see the data has come up. Let me make a change to it. Update customer, set first name equal sync test where customer ID equals 1. And we'll just make that change to that. Let's execute the sync one more time. This time we're taking the change from SQL Azure and bringing it back on premise, bringing it back to my SQL Server database. And once that's done, we should see that just brought the one change back over to SQL Server. And just to verify that, I'm going to right click on the SQL Server database, show the rows. And of course, there's that change that has been applied to my SQL Server database. So at that point, we're complete. We have set up synchronization between these two databases. And hopefully, I've shown you how it's pretty straightforward to set up your database for sync, set it up for synchronization, so that you can then add and extend the capabilities to do filtering of data, add custom logic, business logic, and conflict resolution to your code. So I thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you soon.